across America, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. The live video feed is there as well. Also, the Blaze Radio Network. It's The Weekend with Joe Pags. Hopefully you had a great week. I tell you, I'm stunned by how fast the weeks are going. It's strange to me that we're coming toward the end of October. It's just weird. It seems as though 2019 just started. Now, Anna, you're way younger than I am. I mean, do the years fly by like they do for me? I mean, is this year going fast or is just
this year has?
What is up? How do we stop it? Hey, help me out with that. That's your task for the day. How do we stop the days and the weeks and the months and the years from going by so quickly?
Well, get my research done.
Okay, get back to me on that. So there's a lot going on, and of course, the run-up to next year's election, just about a year away now, about a year and 2 weeks away. That's the focus. It seems every single second of every single day on cable news, on legacy media, on talk radio, certainly. Not only that, the impeachment push is top of mind, too. You ever notice how the whistleblower talk has gone away? Yeah, I have. We're not talking about the whistleblower anymore. The whistleblower was, in my opinion, a fraud. There was no whistleblower. There was somebody who was told something by somebody and then decided that they would lawyer up this person who used to work with Joe Biden, who I guess used to work with a couple of aides to Adam Schiff, met with Adam Schiff before the report was ever even filed or written. The report as written looks like it could have been written by Adam Schiff. It's a report that is third party, and the person actually says, I have no firsthand knowledge. That in and of itself makes that person not a whistleblower. But they're going to testify, and they're going to double down, and now there's another whistleblower who has firsthand knowledge, and they're going to come forward, and suddenly we're not talking about that anymore. Oh, no. Now we're talking about something that the acting chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, said yesterday or 2 days ago about Ukraine and money and so on. The whistleblower stuff. Now Adam Schiff says I probably won't come and testify. Why not? All of this was for nothing. I think they keep on throwing trial balloons out there or floating them anyway, throwing some spaghetti against the wall, see if it sticks. Oh, well, we've got a whistleblower. Maybe Trump will step down and resign and leave. Oh, well, Russia collusion. Maybe Trump will resign and step down and leave. Well, he's unfit. 25th Amendment. Maybe he'll step down and leave. And all of these things they keep on throwing at him. None of them stick. And in fact, when you see these rallies that he does, it's amazing the enormity of the crowds. In Blue, Minnesota, where we get several stations, and I love Minnesota. In Blue, Minnesota, they showed up, 20 or 25,000 were in the arena. I've heard estimates as low as 5,000, as high as another 20,000 outside. Of course, Antifa, the fascist organization, that's just the son or grandson of the KKK, they were there. Black Lives Matter was there. Fill-in-the-blank radical left-wing social justice warrior BS. They were all there, giving a hard time to anybody who dared wear a Make America Great Again hat. Can you imagine saying Make America Great Again, and that's somehow seen as a negative? How stupid is that? And then, of course, the rally a week later in Dallas, Texas. No Antifa. I guess they were smart enough to stay away from Texas. Or BLM or protests or any of that. 20,000 inside. I've heard estimates between 25 and 50,000 outside. You imagine having that kind of crowd show up? Then the media touts, you know, Elizabeth Warren really did a great job, had 700 people at her rally. Robert Francis, the Irishman, Beto O'Rourke, who could be Napoleon Dynamite, think about it. He held a counter rally in Dallas. The media could not get out of its own way to brag that Robert Francis had 5,500 people there. I doubt it was that many. But 5,500 people as compared to 50 to 75,000 for the president. And the media thinks that Robert Francis, the Irishman, actually did something positive for his campaign. That guy won't be on the stage again soon. So we see these rallies. We see real Americans talking about how they're happy with the economy. Unemployment is really low now. Manufacturing's coming back. They're making Louis Vuitton purses and other items in Texas now, for goodness sakes, because the corporate climate is so much better to make a profit, to hire people, to expand and have research and development done. We're seeing positive moves all around when it comes to our strength and our standing in the world. Yet the media keeps on pushing this narrative that Americans want him out of the job, they want him impeached, they want him removed. Had one now debunked Fox News poll that alleged 55% wanted him impeached, 51% wanted him removed. This, while his approval rating is over 50%. So how exactly is it that more than 50% want him removed and impeached, yet his approval rating is better than 50%? So some people who approve of him still want him removed? Help me understand that. Then there was some, I don't know, Quinnipiac, AP, some sort of other poll came out yesterday or the day before. And this one said, oh yeah, it's like 58% want him gone now. Well, who are they polling? The media? Maybe that's who they're polling. Could be the media. You've got that going on while the left is eating its own. I believe the Ukraine story was leaked by Adam Schiff to get Joe Biden out of the way of a far left-wing progressive in the race for the Democratic nomination. I can't prove this. I'm going to give you my opinion as to how it came down. They know they can't get Trump, but if they could ding him, which they try to do every day, like the lunacy of Nancy Pelosi standing up in that meeting and pointing her finger at the president for a photo op. If they could ding the president like they do every day, and also take down Joe Biden, who his mental capacity, or at least his communications capacity, isn't anywhere near where it used to be. This guy has a hard time keeping a train of thought, has a hard time remembering things now. He's definitely lost a step. Many have said his fastball is more like a changeup now. Could be. Not a bad comparison, I guess. But suddenly we find out about Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, who, by the way, sounds exactly like him when he speaks. Listen to him speak. It's pretty interesting. He disappeared for a month or two, showed up on ABC the other day being interviewed, I guess, in his house, and he was defiant, and it was odd, and I don't think it helped anything. Hunter Biden got a job for a natural gas firm or an energy firm in Ukraine, a job for which he is not qualified, doesn't know anything about natural gas or energy, anything like that. Has no degree, has no job history, has no experience. They gave him $50,000 a month. Now think about that. A lot of you listening right now don't make $50,000 a year. Some of you make $50,000 to $60,000 a year. Some of you make $30,000. Some of you make $100,000. This guy was making $600,000 a year doing a job he knew nothing about. He was asked if he thought he got the job because his last name is Biden. He's like, I guess, but I mean, a lot of good things happen because my last name's Biden. Oh, yeah. So he has this job, and the firm for which he's working is under investigation for possible corruption. There's a prosecutor in Ukraine who is investigating that company, including Hunter Biden. That's really what's going on. And the vice president then, Joe Biden, was tasked by President Obama to be sort of in charge of Ukraine and Ukraine policy. So then Vice President Joe Biden goes to Ukraine. These are his words. I didn't make this up. He tells the story and laughs about it. And he's there to give them $1 billion in loan assurances. And he says, you know, I've heard about this prosecutor. I want you to fire him. They say, we're not firing the prosecutor. He says, well, if you don't fire him, I'm not going to give you the $1 billion. The Ukrainians say, well, you're not the president. You don't make that call. Biden's response, call him. Go ahead, call the president. And then he says, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If that guy's not fired, I'm leaving with the check. And then he says, SOB, he says the words. They fired the prosecutor. I hate the term quid pro quo because we keep saying it. And it's so stupid. Why not say, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. Why not say, you get it. If you don't do this, I'm not going to do that. That's really what it is. It was a threat to not do what Obama promised Ukraine if Ukraine didn't do what Joe Biden wanted. So I believe the left leaked all that. And then Biden, like an idiot, he's on videotape bragging about getting the prosecutor fired. The prosecutor has, under a sworn affidavit, said, I was told I was fired because the vice president threatened us. All of that ignored by the mainstream, the left-wing media. So they try to ding Trump, and they did okay for about a week, but now the whistleblower story has kind of gone away. And then they really hurt Joe Biden. He went from the front runner in the left to now Elizabeth Warren is the front runner, and Joe Biden is second, pretty close with Bernie Sanders, who just had a heart attack. He's not going to be in this race either much longer, I don't think. But that's what they did. They had to take Biden down. He's too moderate. There's another moderate in the race on the left, even more moderate than Biden. Some of her policies almost sound conservative. Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard, who is a member of Congress from Hawaii, a congressman from Hawaii in the House of Representatives. She did very, very well in the first debate and the second debate, was the most Googled person, dared go after Kamala Harris, and suddenly was excluded from the debates for the next two or three. One, she was out doing her reserve service. She's still in the military. The other one allegedly didn't qualify somehow. They changed the eligibility requirements from the DNC to keep her off the stage while idiots like Robert Francis the Irishman and Julian I Hate Everybody Castro, they're on the stage, but Tulsi Gabbard wasn't. Well, she goes back on the stage, does incredibly well again, is researched and Googled more than anybody else on that stage from the other night, and suddenly Hillary Clinton decides she's going to chime in. Hillary Clinton has something to say, and it's going after Tulsi Gabbard, and it's the same old Clinton playbook, and I'll tell you what she said, I'll tell you how she said it, and I'll tell you Tulsi Gabbard's response. And when I woke up this morning, the top trend on Twitter is David Duke. You're like, what does all this have to do with each other, Pax? I will tie it all together when we come back. I want your thoughts on the Clinton machine getting involved now in what's happening in the Democrat process. Again, none of them has any chance to beat President Trump next year. The economic numbers are just too good. They have no chance to beat him next year. If they could beat him, they would stop attacking him. The impeachment talk isn't about impeachment. It's about hoping that he'll leave or hoping they'll have said it enough times to where Americans will say, well, damn, can't vote for the guy who got impeached, which I don't think they're going to do. But I'll tell you what Hillary Clinton had to say, Tulsi Gabbard's response, and why David Duke somehow is involved now. If you don't know David Duke, he's a white supremacist piece of garbage that the left always trucks out if they want to hurt somebody's reputation. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. Try to give you the weekday number. 1-800-501-7080. JoePags.com. We're coming back. To have you, it is the weekend with Joe Pags. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Lots going on, lots to get to. Hillary Clinton makes a huge mistake by going after Tulsi Gabbard. I don't know where she was being interviewed or how she's being interviewed, whatever. But this is from USA Today out of Manchester, New Hampshire. It's Hillary Clinton versus Tulsi Gabbard. On the sidelines of the 2020 presidential campaign, the Hawaii congresswoman fought back unsparingly after Clinton appeared to call her the favorite of the Russians in a recent interview and said she believes the Russians have got their eye on somebody who's currently in the Democratic primary and are grooming her to be the third-party candidate. Clinton, the former senator, U.S. Secretary of State, and 2016 Democratic presidential candidate, did not name Gabbard directly. But that's who she was talking about. So Tulsi Gabbard says, well, watch this. And by the way, just so that we're clear, I'm a supporter of President Trump. I'm a conservative. The moves that he's made, the policies that he's put in place are conservative, and he's done a great job. I am not promoting Tulsi Gabbard as a candidate because as much as I think she's the best of their field, she still has some ideas that I completely disagree with. Having said that, I like her backbone a lot. To stand up to Kamala Harris was already pretty good. To stand up to Hillary Clinton, holy crap. You know what I'm saying? I think you do. Tulsi Gabbard responded, and this response has garnered 255,000 likes and almost 80,000, almost 71,000, I should say, retweets over on Twitter. Great. Thank you, Hillary Clinton. You, the queen of warmongers, embodiment of corruption and personification of the rot that has sickened the Democratic Party for so long, have finally come out from behind the curtain. From the day I announced my candidacy, there's been a concerted campaign to destroy my reputation. We wondered who was behind it and why. Now we know. It was always you, through your proxies and powerful allies in the corporate media and war machine, afraid of the threat I pose. It's now clear that the primary is between you and me. Don't cowardly hide behind your proxies. Join the race directly. Damn, Tulsi. Damn. Girl. Know what I'm saying? Damn. Tulsi, don't play that. I mean, for her to go right after Hillary Clinton like that, they just call her out like that. I mean, huge props, huge respect for Tulsi Gabbard, because everybody in the political left, except her, I guess, is scared to death of Hillary Clinton. She says the word, and Bernie Sanders drops out. Last time. Goes in front of Congress, blows off four dead Americans. What difference at this point does it make how they died? Whatever. Gets a pass. Breaks just about every statute you could find about classified information and email servers and digital this, that, and the other, and gets a pass. I mean, James Comey was scared to death of Hillary Clinton, came out and for 14 minutes said how she broke the law and then suggested she not be prosecuted. Bill and Hillary Clinton have dirt on everybody. They don't have dirt on Tulsi Gabbard, and she gave it back harder than she got it. And it was impressive. Really impressive. So Hillary Clinton just got pushed back. I woke up today. David Duke is the top trend on Twitter. Why? Because now Hillary and her minions are suggesting Tulsi Gabbard is somehow connected to David Duke, that he's a supporter of hers. Therefore, that disqualifies her. Gabbard shuts that down pretty quickly, too. Your phone calls when we come back. 1-800-501-7080. It's The Weeknd.
This is The Weeknd with Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there. Also, the live video feed. Glad to have you on The Weeknd with Joe Pags. Lots to get to today. We're going to have Ronna Romney McDaniel. She is the chairwoman or the chairman of the RNC. Some of you might be wondering, why did you correct yourself when you said chairwoman? Because chairwoman really isn't a thing. It's chairman. And chairman comes from human. And even women are human. So the fact that we have to say chairwoman or spokeswoman, that doesn't make sense. It's spokesman. And it's not because we're calling you a man. It's because it's from the word human, which we all are. Anyway, the chairman of the RNC, she does a great job, was applauded loudly or lauded loudly by the president the other night in Dallas, and rightfully so. Traveling like crazy, getting the word out. We'll have her on this program. Make sure you stick around. We also have, and again, we've got a lot to get to that isn't generally, you know, just political. We've got Kevin Sorbo on, who's a great actor, of course. He's got a new movie that's coming out, and you can go see it on October 24th. We'll tell you how on this program as well. So make sure you stick around. There's a lot to get to today. So I've got a couple of sisters on Twitter, and I'm going to call you guys out because they're really nice people. I don't follow that many people that aren't verified, and the way that I do my tweeting, it's purposeful. It's not because you're not important if you're not verified. It's not that at all. But I have a select few people that I follow on Twitter because I like to get a lot of resources from there, and people who are verified are generally speaking media outlets, they're other talk show hosts, they're people who are newsmakers that are moving the trends around social media, and I want to be able to talk about what it appears social media is focused on. So I don't follow that many people that aren't verified, but I do follow these sisters because they're very nice people. They've been very, very big supporters of my show. They asked me to several years ago, and I did so. It's kind of nuts how fast people can turn when it comes to their thoughts on social media. Now, these two are big supporters of my show, and I think that they're pretty great. But they're calling me out because I called Tulsi Gabbard a moderate. How dare you fall for it? Stop looking at her pretty face, one says. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell are you talking about? I haven't mentioned how Tulsi Gabbard looks. Is she attractive? Yes. There are several people running for president that are attractive. So what? It doesn't mean that I'm going to call them something they're not because they might be okay looking or good looking or not so good looking. It doesn't matter to me what they look like. What matters to me is what they say. And I'm not promoting the candidacy of Tulsi Gabbard. I'm not sure if I could have made it any clearer than I did in the opening segment of this program today. I'm a supporter of President Donald Trump. He's doing a great job. The guy should get reelected. And what he's put up with from the left is disgusting. And even Tulsi Gabbard went after him, and I called her out when she said something about him pimping us out, our military out to Saudi Arabia. It bothers me how selectively some people, even people who I consider big fans and who I consider really good people, it bothers me how they let their judgment get clouded because they have a different thought process. Look, we're allowed to disagree on stuff. That's okay. But let me be as clear as I can. Tulsi Gabbard, going against every other Democrat up there, has said she's not for open borders. She's for a secure border. That's moderate in the Democrat Party in this day and age. She's a military veteran who actually still is in the military. That's moderate when it comes to Democrat and politics these days. And the most important thing, perhaps, is she went after Kamala Harris unafraid, unabashed, and let the people know what a fraud Harris is. And then she didn't sit and lie by as Hillary Clinton attacked her as a Russian plant or something. Now, the idea that these sisters have, and many others of you out there who are conservatives who like me and like the show and enjoy the parodies and we all laugh and fart together, the idea that is being pushed right now is that somehow Tulsi Gabbard is using and twisting the right-wing media, people like me who are talk show hosts, or maybe people like Tucker Carlson who has her on all the time. And that theory almost floats if you don't consider that the reason why I'm talking about her is because Hillary Clinton attacked her. Now, you would have to be, you'd have to be under the belief, which makes no sense, that Hillary Clinton is colluding with Tulsi Gabbard to somehow get right-wing or conservative people like me to back Gabbard. Hillary Clinton, the most progressive far left-wing candidate last time, who would have been Obama 2.0, who is probably going to support Elizabeth Warren for the candidacy, somehow is using her power to use reverse psychology on people like me and people like Tucker Carlson and go down the list. She somehow is doing that to help Tulsi Gabbard. You have to believe that. To believe that somehow Gabbard has hypnotized us. Let me say it again. In that field, she's the most moderate. Period. End of story. Have a nice day. If you think me calling Tulsi Gabbard a moderate is me saying vote for her, you're not listening to the words coming out of my mouth. Okay? Take a breath. Have a drink. Go for a jog. Whatever it's going to take to calm your ass down. Because that's just silly. That just legitimately doesn't make any sense. And it comes off as wacky. Because unless you want to show me some proof that Hillary Clinton's trying to help Tulsi Gabbard win the nomination, stop. 1-800-501-7080. The David Duke connection allegedly is that David Duke in the past has shown support for Tulsi Gabbard. Going back to 2016, Tulsi Gabbard told him off on social, publicly. So that's not going to stick either. So Hillary Clinton, who I'm supposed to believe, is helping Tulsi Gabbard by twisting and tricking the very dumb right-wing media. Hillary Clinton is now pushing the David Duke angle because that's going to help Tulsi Gabbard more. You know the David Duke angle came from Hillary Clinton. They tried the same thing on Donald Trump in 2016. Suddenly, David Duke is in support of Donald Trump. Of course, we know that there was a big donation made by a leader of the KKK to Hillary Clinton in 2016, very rarely reported. We also know that Hillary Clinton praised Robert Byrd as a mentor of sorts. Of course, the former Grand Dragon or some leader in the KKK as well, Robert KKK Byrd. This is the next step that Hillary Clinton and her machine takes in trying to squash an opponent. Tulsi Gabbard is a threat to the progressive left in this country. She's a threat. Period. End of story. 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Let me grab some phone calls here. A lot of people want to be heard on this. And Biden and the Democrats on stage and these crazy, happy, joy-filled Trump rallies as well. By the way, I think the president does an amazing job at these rallies. He holds court better than even Obama did, and Obama was very, very good at it. Oh, my God. He said Obama was good at something. He's horrible. They're twisting him. They're using him as a right-wing pawn. Shut up. Obama could read the hell out of a teleprompter. He could change his tone and cadence and accent depending on what audience he was in front of. Good-looking dude who wore a suit well. No substance whatsoever. Was an empty suit, and his policies sucked. But man, he could hold a crowd. And then comes Donald Trump. And not only holds the crowd, he does it better. I mean, to me, it's hilarious. He'll say a one-liner, the crowd will go nuts, and he'll walk away. Look down, look sideways, point at somebody. I just think that it's great the way that he does it. Let me go to the phone lines. Going to be line one, going to be Joe in Florida. Joe, what's on your mind? Hi. Hi, Joe. What's happening? Come on.
Yeah, I'm a registered Democrat and Trump supporter.
Cool.
I'd like to
know what's on your mind.
People out there are like me.
Now, why are you a registered Democrat if you support Trump? I mean, Trump, I don't know if you can't hear me. Yeah, I don't think you can hear me. Joe, can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, let's have a conversation. All right, so why are you a registered Democrat if you support this president?
Hello?
Seriously? Check that line for me, please, Anna. I'm not going to do this phone hello thing again this week. That ain't any fun. But do me a favor and talk to him and find out if he's hearing us or not. Larry's in Washington. Hi, Larry. Can you hear me?
Sir, can you hear me?
Yes. Come on. What's on your mind?
I saw a very nice thing my brother sent me about Glenn Beck has really analyzed this Joe Biden in the Ukraine thing. And
yeah, he has. He's done a good job with that.
He's done as some sort of warlord who owned that company that Biden's son went to work for. But the important thing here is that there wasn't $1 billion, as you've mentioned, that we'd loaned. It was $1.8 billion, and that went to the bank that was owned by that same warlord. Now, they have in that bank these things called black accounts that nobody can find out. How can you audit a bank in the Ukraine? You can't. So there's $1.8 billion of our money, my money, your money, that has disappeared. The question is, who owes those black accounts? Anybody in the world could have a Visa card on that bank. It's a legitimate Visa card, including Joe Biden or even Barack Obama. And we would never know where that money goes to. So please,
all right,
help research where the $1.8 billion is.
Okay, I don't know where you're getting $1.8 billion. I'm using $1 billion. That's what Biden said that the loan guarantee was. I don't know if this is different money that Glenn's talking about. I didn't watch the entire video, but Glenn does a great job, and I appreciate you highlighting it. Again, We know that Joe Biden threatened to not give that money, that loan, those loan guarantees, the $1 billion he was talking about, if Ukraine didn't fire the prosecutor. They fired the prosecutor. His son then was in the clear, and this thing stinks to high heaven for sure. Let me try Joe in Florida again. Joe, are we better off now? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. I hit the
mute. Right, talk to me, brother.
Trying to get you off speaker.
Okay, cool. So you're a registered Democrat who's a Trump supporter. Why are you still a registered Democrat?
In the state of Florida, you cannot vote in the primaries unless you are registered to a certain party.
Okay.
I've been a registered Democrat. I'm originally from Massachusetts. I've been a registered Democrat since Kennedy days. And to me, Trump is much like Kennedy. You know,
I guess in some ways, certainly. I mean, President Kennedy would not have been a Democrat today, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And I'm wondering how many registered Democrats there are still out there that are Trump supporters. I think
a lot.
When
they do these rallies, they generally speaking find out the numbers. I think the most recent rally in Dallas, 21% were Democrats, and they were cheering very loudly for the president. In New Mexico recently, it was 20 or 30% who were there were Democrats. It might have even been a higher number. And you're also seeing more minorities, more diversity. So, yeah, I think the left should be very afraid because there are a lot of people like you, Joe.
And I don't think we get counted in the polls. And I think
because you're still registered as a Democrat and you're voting in the primaries. You're not voting for Trump and you're not voting for Republicans. You're voting generally probably for Democrats. And then when the general comes around, you vote for the president. So they can't poll you correctly.
Exactly.
All right, brother, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's interesting. I think there are a lot of people like Joe. I think there are a lot of Trump Democrats. There were a lot of Reagan Democrats in the day for good reason. You know, Democrats are in unions. Democrats, you know, have a certain level of beliefs, but those beliefs also include having jobs and having a good, you know, economic situation for your family and for your community. I mean, being a Democrat doesn't mean you have to be a far left-wing progressive loon like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and AOC. Being a Democrat used to mean very different things. And a lot of people I'm hearing from who are walking away from the Democrat Party are saying, I didn't walk away, they left me. And Trump is a great alternative because you really can't shoot holes in anything he's done. I mean, these policies are helping all Americans who pay taxes, all Americans who want jobs, all Americans who want a couple of bucks in the bank. I mean, seriously, I saw a story the other day, and it might have been the Wall Street Journal, might have been CNBC, somebody, that Americans have more savings, and that's not a good thing. They're trying to make you think you having a couple of bucks in the bank is a bad thing. That's how weird it's gotten. 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Coming back. Hi, great to have you. It is the weekend with Joe Pags. The weekday show is the Joe Pags Show. 130 radio stations across the land. Hopefully you get the show where you are, and we're popping up on more stations all the time. So do me a favor, stop by joepags.com, joepags.com, and click on Find a Station. That'll open up your email, and you can send me an email. It says Find a Station in the subject line. Tell me where you are, maybe your zip code, maybe your city, your state, whatever, and I'll let you know what's going on. Also, while you're at the website, joepags.com, do me a favor and scroll down a little bit and sign up for the email newsletter. This will tell you every day, Monday through Saturday, what I'm talking about on either the Joe Pags Show or the Weekend with Joe Pags, whether we have guests, whether we have a Pags parody, and oftentimes we do. So make sure that you go and check that out as well. Just stop by the website, and you'd also follow on all the social media as well. It is 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. To the phone lines and the time we have remaining, we'll have Kevin Sorbo on this program, which is another great interview. The guy gives a great interview, and I really appreciate him taking the time. We're also going to have Ronna Romney McDaniel on the program. She's the RNC chair. Great stuff. You're going to want to check that out as well. And what's going on in Hong Kong and China and the NBA's involvement? We'll talk about that at length, too, with an expert, Marion Smith. He's got great insight into what's happening there. Meantime, back to the phone lines. Going to be line 3 and Austin in Washington. Austin, what's going on?
Hey, Joe, I just want to point out another example of the Democrats taking care of their kids. Seems to me I recall that when Hillary's daughter, Chelsea, graduated from college, she immediately landed a job making like 500 grand a year. I don't even think a brain surgeon starts out at that rate.
Well, I don't think so either. Now, I don't know if you're talking about the media deal that she had with NBC. With NBC, she was getting paid a ton of money, had to do very little work, and it was all because of the Clinton connection. Clinton is very embedded in all of those arenas. What I don't get is what the Clintons have on everybody. They have something on NBC. They have something on the DNC. They have something on James Comey. They have something on Loretta Lynch. I mean, they have something on everybody. I don't get it.
I agree, but obviously it makes them a lot of money.
It does. I appreciate the call. Let me go back to the phone line, say hi to line two. It's going to be Barry in Florida. Barry, what's going on?
Hi, Joe. Great to speak to you again.
Thanks, man.
What we have is a friends with lots of big pocketbooks, and you talk about this academic scandal. They're known to pick up a phone, call the president or head of major universities and colleges and say, hey, listen, I got a buddy. His kid needs to be admitted to this school. And they do it. It's in the background. We don't hear about it. The other thing I wanted to say was that none of us believe any of these media press polls. It's like Pravda and Yastrzemskaya. They represent the radical left Democratic Party, and none of the results makes any sense. When supposedly they poll 1,100 people, and that's supposed to be a national survey, and most of them are Democrats. So this has been a fix a long time ago. We know that Clinton's triangulates, and that's what they do.
I hear you, and I appreciate it, Barry. You know, what's interesting about these polls, Fox News had that poll this past week that they ended up having to come back and re-explain. It turns out that they were, by a large number, outnumbering the number of Republicans they were polling by Democrats and so-called independents. Now, we don't know these so-called independents were all Democrats or what they were, but it was about 70% independents and Democrats, and 30% were Republicans in this poll. And as Barry said, it was only about 1,000, 1,100 people that were asked this question. I, by the way, have never been polled by anybody when it comes to politics, so I don't know who the hell they're talking to. But the idea that 1,100 people, 70% of which are either left or center-left, can decide what the nation feels about impeachment is an idea I roundly reject. It just doesn't work for me. 1-800-501-7080, JoePags.com. Much more to come, including about Hong Kong and the NBA, Kevin Sorbo, and more. Stay here.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.
To have you, it is The Weekend with Joe Pags. You heard a part of a best of, so I don't mind explaining what the duck's feet are doing under the water. The show, we try to be the duck on top of the water, looks all pretty, everything's good underneath the water, but those feet are going nuts to try to swim. We had a technical issue, so no, people are already tweeting me, they censored you. You were to talk about the NBA and you're talking about Ronna McDaniel, and they censor you, they shut you off. It's not true. We had Anna, we good? We're good, right?
Yeah, we're all good.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of me from last week or something. So at the end of the day, here's what happens. We're connected through technology. Technology sometimes fails, very rarely, and when it does, there's a backup system in place at the network where you're going to hear something until we figure it out. So we figured it out. I will get you the entire interview with Ronna on McDaniel. I was actually playing it and didn't realize you guys weren't hearing it, so we'll have that interview for you that I did just a few days ago. She's the chair of the RNC, has great things to say. She's doing amazing work for the RNC. And yes, we will get in earnest into what's really happening in Hong Kong. I don't think we have a really good picture of what's happening in Hong Kong. What is communist China? What is Beijing doing to Hong Kong? And Hong Kong is part of China, given back by the British Empire, the Great Britain. The British Empire no longer exists, but given back by Great Britain in 1997. So what's the difference between Hong Kong and mainland China if they're all the same country? Well, Hong Kong really does operate autonomously, and Beijing is trying to change that. Beijing is trying to take control and run the joint like they do the rest of the country. And you might be thinking, well, what's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with it is China has historically killed tens of millions of its own people if they dared dissent on what the government was doing, if they dared be real journalists and tell a real story. There is no freedom and liberty there. And for an American to say, I want freedom and liberty for the people of Hong Kong, that's actually a very positive, very, very good, very smart thing. So why are basketball players who make tens of millions of dollars a year to play a game, and God bless them, I'm not taking it away from them, good. I'm glad that they found out their talent and they're using what God gave them. But why are they making comments like the guy who said, you know, we support Hong Kong or free Hong Kong or whatever, that he somehow lacks the knowledge of the situation? LeBron James, who just great basketball player, and I think I've given him too much credit for being smart in his life, because he's just not. He said something like, the guy that sent out the tweet did not have knowledge of the situation. Like it was unintelligent to write the tweet that you support freedom and liberty. So I talked to an expert about that, and we find out what the real story is. Also, on this program, you'll hear from actor Kevin Sorbo. He has a new movie coming out, and it's a movie that supports the Second Amendment, which I think is great. Kevin Sorbo doesn't care that Hollywood doesn't like him like they used to. Kevin Sorbo doesn't care that Hollywood looks at him as some sort of an outsider because he dares be unabashedly conservative. I like that about the guy. Also, pretty good in Hercules and Andromeda. So make sure you keep it here for that. When we come back, you'll have the entirety of the interview. I don't want you to miss any piece of it with Ronna McDaniel, the chair of the RNC. Great insight into these rallies, great insight into what the Dems are doing. And we also focus on the economy, which I think sometimes we forget to do enough. Joe Pags coming back on the weekend. Stay here.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. The Parlay app is there as well. It is The Weekend with Joe Pags. Glad to have you along for the ride. It's 1-800-501-7080. Want to give you my full interview with Ronna McDaniel. She is the chair of the RNC and is doing an incredible job. She was recognized by the president the other day in Dallas. We did this interview before Dallas, so she talks about Dallas coming up. But we also talk about what happened in Minnesota, but before then, and the strategy that the Democrat Party seems to think is going to work against this president next year. Ron, I appreciate you. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Always great to be with you, Joe.
It's an absolute pleasure to be with you. I talked to you about this right before we started today, and I mean this. I told my listeners yesterday, I tweeted out about it last night before the debate. I had no plans to watch the debate, and I held true to that promise. I know that you can't avoid it because of what you do for a living, and generally speaking, I can't avoid it either. But Ronna, at this point, and I love your opinion on this, it just appears to be 3 hours of hate being spewed by 12 people on a stage, and I just didn't have the stomach last night.
Yeah, it's hard to watch. I applaud you for being able to take a break because it is hateful. They've never worked with this president. Yeah. Our country's divided, and you have 12 people getting on the stage talking about how they can tear apart our country even further. And they started by talking about impeachment. They never discussed the charade that Nancy Pelosi is running, this unfair process where the president's not able to even defend himself, which totally breaks with precedent. But yeah, the 3 hours were painful. I think I probably ate too many M&Ms just to get through it.
Now, do you like the peanut or the regular? Because I like the peanut.
I like the peanut, too. Yeah, I'm a peanut M&M person.
Good, good. Well, then we're like-minded that way. It's Ronna McDaniel, the chair over at the RNC. So in some of the sound bites that I've been sent, some of the videos that I've seen, of course, Bernie with the same old story, the most corrupt president we've ever had, Joe Biden trying to take the high road when, in fact, he's got a real big Ukraine problem. As you go down the line, the one moderate who was the most Googled person again is Tulsi Gabbard. And even she was attacked. The president purposely is letting the Kurds be slaughtered. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot on policy other than Medicare for all, which can't be paid for, where there actually is infighting now on the Democrat side on that. So as you sit back as the boss of the RNC, and as the money flows in, and we'll talk about fundraising in a minute, do you kind of hope that they'll keep on attacking each other? Because as one says something that might be policy-oriented, and it's very rare in these things, it's really more about how horrible Donald Trump is, but as one says something about policy, somebody else on the stage attacks them. Is it kind of, you just sit back and relax and watch them do it?
Well, my dream from the beginning was a hope that they would have a brokered convention and that this would go till August of 2020.
That could be.
I do think there was no clear front runner last night. Joe Biden faded. He continues to stumble and bumble through every answer. I heard the president say once, I almost root for him. He starts a sentence and I think, oh, I hope he can finish it, because he really can't. I mean, it's really, really bad.
Yeah.
But Elizabeth Warren was attacked last night. There were a lot of people. I don't think this stage is going to, or this field is going to narrow down anytime soon. There are enough candidates with money. There's no clear front runner. And there's a reason why, because they're running on nothing.
Oh,
they're running
the
on a government takeover of healthcare. They're running on this president so bad. They refuse to acknowledge the good economic numbers. They refuse to acknowledge that the president's taken on immigration without their help. They have no record to run on over the past 3 years other than obstruct and resist. I mean, remember, many of them are in Congress. They're senators or House members, and they talk about all the things they're going to do, but they're not doing any of those things right now in the jobs they're in.
And they could be doing it even holding their nose and working with the guy they have such a problem with. If they do it, at least they have something positive to run on. There really is no policy. The policy is impeach this guy. And I wonder what your thoughts are on that, because as they say impeachment, every time they say it, the Trump campaign raises a ton of money. The RNC raises a ton of money, outpacing the Democrats by a lot. Are you surprised by that?
Well, they've been impeaching this president from day one, and I think their dishonesty and their inability to work with this president has lost them credibility with the American voter. And let's not forget, they have not taken an impeachment vote. This is totally breaking with precedent, even under Clinton and Nixon.
Right.
They're not allowing the president to depose witnesses or subpoena them. And by the way, we have the call. There's nothing impeachable that the president did. So this is all to distract from their weak field of candidates and the fact that they're probably going to nominate a socialist, which isn't palatable for most of America.
It's Ronna McDaniel, the boss over at the RNC. You know, it's interesting. I mean, you're right. They've been impeaching him since day one. But what they think is the impeachable thing of the day is the phone call that happened just a few months ago. I mean, think about that. It's they had nothing on Russia because there was no collusion. By the way, that election happened under Barack Obama, not under Donald Trump. And Barack Obama himself said, if you think that there's going to be some sort of a meddling with our election, then you should focus on your campaign. He was trying to attack then candidate Trump. Then they're going to impeach him on the 25th Amendment, which was stupid because he's unfit somehow. Then they're going to impeach him on fill in the blank. At the end of the day, they think they have something to hang their hat on from a few months ago. And the only thing that was bad about that call is if you believe Adam Schiff's version of the call, which didn't happen. So do you think they'll change that? And again, I don't need to give advice to the DNC, but just your opinion as the boss of the RNC. Do you think they'll change their tactic? Because every single time they say impeachment, you see the money flow in from fundraising and from donors who don't want that side to win.
Well, they're trying to energize their base, their anti-Trump, never Trump base, and they have decided to go full bore into this impeachment. I don't know how they roll it back. And it is all because that three people run the Democrat Party right now, or four, AOC and the squad, and Nancy Pelosi had to get that done because that's where the energy is in her party. It's devastating for our country. They went down this path in a haphazard way. They didn't even have the transcript yet. They hadn't had the IG report, and now they're stuck. And this is something where Democrats and Republicans, if they're ever in this position, should be taking with the utmost seriousness. They should be transparent with the American people. And like you said, Adam Schiff started it with a fictional conversation with the president and Zelensky, and now they've held all their interviews in backdoor sessions where we can't see what's happening. We can't see the transcripts. I mean, this is not what the United States of America is about. You cannot nullify the vote of 63 million people behind closed doors. And yeah. that is what the Democrats are doing. I think it will hurt them in the long run. But more importantly, it's hurting our country. You know, I'm the head of the RNC, and of course, I want President Trump to win. But this is not good for our country.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
Democrat or Republican, you should want due process. The president should be able to defend himself. If you're accusing him of high crimes and misdemeanors, why can't he call witnesses? Why can't he have his counsel present? Why can't Republicans have subpoena power? This is a process that is flawed so inherently because of their partisan witch hunt on this president that they are throwing out rule of law and due process. We would not allow this in any courtroom. Why are we allowing this in the House of Representatives?
It's a great question. Ronna McDaniel, because as you know, it's kind of rhetorical. If the Republicans can subpoena, if the president can defend himself, they look really stupid that they even started this process. Ronna McDaniel, the chair over at the RNC. I sit in Texas, as you know. And yesterday we had Don Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle, and we had Brad Parscale in town, a rousing rally. Last week in Minnesota, of course, there was a big rally, a state that's purplish that could go Trump. But let's focus on Texas for a second. There's a big rally tomorrow in Dallas, and there's going to be an overflow crowd as usual. Tens of thousands will not be able to get in, and the president's going to have one of the largest crowds we probably have seen in recent history, politically speaking. Do you have any fear that Texas is going blue because the Democrats want us to believe that it's really a possibility?
I don't think Texas is going blue, but I kind of love that the Democrats think that, so go ahead and spend all your time there. I mean, remember, the people moving to Texas are moving there because they didn't like the liberal policies of other states. They're not coming to Texas because they're embracing those policies. Greg Abbott won by a considerable number. The president wasn't on the ballot in 2018. And Texas, more than anybody, recognizes what the Green New Deal will mean if that gets passed, which Democrats are championing. It'll be the end of oil and gas. It'll be total regulation.
Right.
It will destroy the economy for Texas. So I feel good about it. I'm going to be there with the president tomorrow. People can still sign up to come to the rally at DonaldJTrump.com. But it's going to be a great event. And the more I go to these rallies, the more I recognize the energy has never left this president. And you're right. This impeachment inquiry is just revving up our base. And it's helping us realize that we are in the fight of our lives against a system that's not fair, that the Democrats have no intention of playing by the rules. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure we reelect a president who actually is going to follow the rule of law, who's made lives better for millions of Americans with higher wages and more jobs.
I always like to circle back, and it's Ronna McDaniel, the chair over at the RNC. I like to circle back to the economy because I think sometimes we ourselves get mired in what the left is doing, and you have to defend against impeachment, defend against misogyny, defend against the allegations of Islamophobia or fill in the blank, whatever isterphobia we're doing today. You have to defend against that, and then the good stuff gets put by the wayside. The economy is out of sight. I mean, wage growth itself, those employment numbers for minority communities especially and for women are unbelievable. They're astronomical. People have more money in their pockets. Manufacturing is coming back when Obama said it wouldn't. You've got every indicator that you can possibly find looking great. He's fighting trade wars with countries that have been unfairly and unbalanced trade with us for decades, and he's finally putting his foot down and saying, let's get it done. The Democrats, by the way, as you know, will not even take up the USMCA, which would replace the horrible NAFTA. So let's talk about the economy for a minute. I mean, all the things I said are verifiably true, but are we focusing enough attention on that? Do we kind of fall into that trap that they're laying by defending constantly all day long, or are we finding enough time for the good stuff?
Well, certainly as we're doing these events around the country, and I was in Ohio yesterday, I'll be in Pennsylvania today, as we talk to voters, we want to make sure, and our volunteers and our grassroots, and that's why we're in the ground in so many of these battleground states, we're arming them with the facts that wages have grown over 3%, that over 5 million people have come off of food stamps, that of the 6 million jobs that have come in under Donald Trump, over half have gone to women.
Amazing.
I mean, so many good things are happening. I think the mainstream media doesn't want to share the successes of this administration. The Democrats want to muddy the waters with this impeachment inquiry because they don't want us focusing on their candidate for president. And they don't want us to focus on the results of this administration. And it's important at the RNC that we dial into the voters individually and share these good metrics. And plus, people feel it. I mean, they know they have more money. They know. My state of Michigan, wages were so stagnant under Obama. Our economy was stalled out. And now, you're seeing so many good things happening, and people feel that across the country as
well. At some point, we have to talk about how Bill Schuette lost to Gretchen Whitmer. I still don't get that, but we'll get into that next time. I've got a bunch of stations in Michigan, too, and you know I've got deep ties in Michigan. It is Ronna McDaniel.
Yep, I know.
And I'll leave you with this. You travel around the country, as you just said. You're going crazy. You're in Ohio, you're in Pennsylvania. You'll be in Dallas tomorrow. When you meet the actual voter, let's forget with the spin from Washington or the spin from the fake news like CNN in New York or L.A. or whatever. Let's talk really about the real voter, the real American that walks up with the Make America Great Again hat and who understands that there is a palpable difference between Obama that was overregulating and over-controlling and Trump that says go and succeed. What are you hearing specifically? Give me specific like quotes that you've heard from people who are excited and that are donating, that are showing up at these rallies.
Well, one, they're very frustrated with the media. They think it's been beyond biased, yeah. And I think they're frustrated with the Democrats. But more than that, they feel like they have a champion in the White House. I hear that all the time. Tell the president, thank you. Thanks for fighting for us. Thanks for making our lives better. And then you hear anecdotes like, now I can pay for my child's college, or this is what that money meant for me. And those are, my job is better. I feel so much more hope about my future. And they also are frightened. They're frightened that people don't understand what socialism means, that this government takeover of everything, as Democrats say, everything's free. People don't understand that. So they're willing to work and get out and talk to their friends, their neighbors, their family members. And that's what it's going to take, because Democrats do have the mainstream media in their pocket, and the media has decided not to report on the successes of this administration, but also the frightening things that would come out of socialism. When Elizabeth Warren stood on the stage last night and could not answer how she would pay for her government takeover for health care, and she would not be honest that would raise taxes on every American, that's a problem, and the commentators didn't push her at all.
Well, of course
not. That's what we're up against.
And I think that's great. And not great that we're up against that, but it's great that you're meeting all these people and you're hearing these wonderful stories. And it's all true. They call my show every day. Ronna, let's do this again very soon. I appreciate the work that you're doing to make sure that people understand the good things coming from a conservative movement in this country. Can we do it again soon?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Joe.
All right. We always appreciate Ronna McDaniel coming on. She's doing a great job as the chair of the RNC, as recognized by the president. Your thoughts on what you just heard, 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. We're coming right back. Great to have you the weekend with Joe Pags. Next hour, it's going to be Marion Smith, an expert on Hong Kong, communism, and how it's hurt the world, and the NBA. We'll talk about all that. Kevin Sorbo also. Yes, the actor Kevin Sorbo. Of course, Hercules, Andromeda. He's got a new movie coming out the 24th of this month, and it's going to be in a theater near you. And you can find out much more by listening to that interview next hour. Make sure you stick around. Let me go to the phone lines at the time we have here this hour. It's going to be line one, and Jack is in Colorado. Jack, what's going on?
Hello, Joe. I wanted to let the whole country know about the infrastructure that's going on today. I've traveled this country extensively for the last 25 years, up and down from Mexico to Canada, from coast to coast, and all the points in between. And I came from New York to Colorado to hunt. I have never been held up so much with construction of bridges and roads and highways and byways, even the mountain roads and the back roads. I buy these guys cases of water to pass out to them and tell them, you can thank Trump for that job. And I just want the whole country to know of the infrastructure that's going on in this country today. Now, I know that we got a lot of factory going on. I saw that rally the other night at Dallas, and I love that LV leather shop down there, putting all those people to work, which the Democrats, of course, are calling cattle. I don't understand why, because all they do is sit in their basements and play video games. I just wanted the country to know about all the infrastructure, and I thank you for taking my call, Joe.
Well, Jack, you're very welcome. I appreciate the call out of Colorado. We love being on live in Denver on the weekend. You know, what's interesting about what he said, LV is Louis Vuitton, and they're making their stuff now in Texas. And for some reason, because there were cattle nearby, the left took a bunch of pictures at the ribbon-cutting ceremony, whatever it was, of the cattle, and the allegation through the pictures, although they didn't say this, was that those cattle would be slaughtered to use to make the handbags. And some idiots on like social media, I'm never going to buy Louis Vuitton again. And I own plenty. I'm never going to, I can't believe they're going to kill those poor cows. And well, they're not. That leather comes from Europe, that Louis Vuitton uses for its handbags and so on. It just, the media was trying to show that they couldn't believe that such a high class, you know, product was going to be made near all these horrible cows. Just, I mean, the imagery and the visuals were on purpose, and it was deceptive is what it was. Let me go to line two. Reg is in Florida. Reg, what's going on? Hi.
How are you today?
Living the dream. Got about a minute and a half for you. Let's go.
I just want to make a comment about Adam Schiff when he swore in Mueller. He did not complete the oath. He did not say, it, under God, so help me God, at the end of his swearing in.
I think lately in the past few years, they've actually taken that out of there. I don't think they were allowed to, but they did it anyway. They stopped saying, so help me God.
I just think it's typical of his character.
Well, I agree with you. No, I mean, it is typical of his character. It's typical of the left in whole, at all, if you will, in Congress. They stopped in a lot of these committees that are being run by Democrats now. Well, they all are in the House. They're not saying, so help me God. They've taken it out. And when questioned about it, they've actually said, well, some people might not have that belief. And who is it? Who are we to try to push our belief and our value system on these other people? And the Republicans have responded, who are we? We're the Judeo-Christian country that was founded 240 years ago, and we believe in under God, and so help me God, in a Judeo-Christian system. The left is loony. They've been pushing for this for a long time, and now that they're in charge, they're doing it. That's why they have to be voted out next year. Keep it here. Much more to come on the weekend.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags. Across America, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, all the social media there, also the live video feed. Do me a favor, go to joepags.com, scroll down, and you'll see where you could sign up for the newsletter. Go and sign up for the newsletter. 6 days a week, you'll get an update from me, the news stories that we're covering, the interviews that we have on, whether there's a Pags parody or not, who the guests are going to be. Go and check it out. It's joepags.com. Doesn't cost you anything. Yes, it's free. No, I'm not going to spam you with a bunch of advertising or sell your list or anything like that. So again, joepags.com. The NBA and Hong Kong and China, what's the story? I don't think that we as Americans had any idea how deeply tied the NBA was and their players were to communist China. It turns out it's billions of dollars. It turns out the salary cap is reliant upon it. And it turns out the players think they know something about the relationship, but don't. And the general manager for the Houston Rockets, Daryl Morey, guy I'd never heard of before, posted a tweet, very simple tweet, something about free Hong Kong or support Hong Kong or something. And in Hong Kong, they're protesting because they don't want Beijing to overlord them. They want freedom. They want liberty. They've been waving our flag and saying our anthem, which is such a contradiction to what the NFL players, anyway, have been doing here, and how many athletes are, well, they denigrate regularly our country, our president, our system. Well, the players came out against this guy, or some of them, the biggest names that did, and I don't think they really understand. They tried to say that Morey didn't understand the situation, when in fact the players are the ones that are kowtowing to a communist government that kills its own people if they dare look at them askance. So I wanted to get with a guy. His name is Marion Smith, Executive Director of the International Human Rights Group Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, to find out more about what's actually happening between Beijing and Hong Kong, the NBA connection, and more. I appreciate you, Marion. How you doing?
I'm great.
Really good to talk to you. Look, the situation in Hong Kong, as it is related to Beijing. I mean, it's all China now. I wanted to get into it because LeBron James, allegedly the best player on the planet, although he's a little bit on the downside because he's a little bit older now. This guy, though, is the face of the NBA. He decided that he would answer a question about Hong Kong and China and about a tweet that was sent out by the general manager of the Houston Rockets about his showing support for Hong Kong. And LeBron James basically says he shouldn't have said it. Yeah, we've got free speech, but it really affected a lot of people. And he doesn't understand what's going on. He's misinformed about the situation, is what LeBron James said. So I don't know much about it other than what's been in the news reports. I know that there are people in Hong Kong that, of course, Hong Kong was owned by Great Britain for a long time, given back to China not too long ago. And China wants to sort of start pushing its communistic fascist dictatorship law on Hong Kong, and the people in Hong Kong don't want it to happen. So when LeBron James says what he says, obviously he's the one who's misinformed. But let's take it back to what's really going on. Take me to Hong Kong. What's the problem right now? Why are they protesting? What are they fighting?
Well, the people of Hong Kong have never lived under a Chinese Communist Party. You have high school students and Hong Kongers in their 20s and their 30s in the streets, some 2 million out of a population of 7 million.
Wow.
On the streets of Hong Kong, making it clear to the world that they do not want to be ruled by the Chinese Communist Party. But since 1997, when the handover took place, you had the Communist Party ever whittling away at the freedoms and the autonomy of Hong Kong, even though they had pledged to respect the autonomy of Hong Kong for 50 years. And what we have, what we've seen most recently was the introduction of an extradition bill by the Hong Kong government and the chief executive, Carrie Lam, who's really just a puppet of Beijing.
Okay.
Which effectively would have made it possible for anyone arrested in Hong Kong, and especially that would have applied to political dissidents and others deemed a problem for the party. And instead of being subject to Hong Kong law, which is very similar to, you know, common law tradition that we enjoy with civil rights, et cetera, they could be transferred into mainland China to enjoy the quote-unquote justice of the totalitarian system there. And so the people of Hong Kong realized that that was, you know, an end to their protections if that law were to go through. And so as a result of the protests that have now been going on for several months, the extradition law was withdrawn. But the protesters are in this for the long haul because they know that Xi Jinping has absolutely no intention of allowing the one country, two systems policy to remain in effect. And so because of that, that policy is governed by a treaty between China and the United Kingdom. Hong Kong and its fate is not exactly an internal matter. It is a city with a different status. And so I think it looks very similar to West Berlin in the 1950s. In the early 60s, where you had, as the result of a encroaching, territorially expansive totalitarian regime, then the Soviet Union, now the People's Republic of China, trying to take over a city. And what I and lots of others are saying is that this is an important first confrontation with China. And if we lose a free city and we allow a international, you know, communications and financial hub, and 7 million Hong Kongers who are like us in every respect, except that they are Chinese, and you know, they don't want to live under the Communist Party. And if we allow that to take place, it hurts us, not just them.
It is Marion Smith, the executive director of the International Human Rights Group Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation. What is the website for your organization?
victimsofcommunism.org, and okay, your listeners can go there and find a t-shirt that says Free Hong Kong. And we are in the midst of this NBA fiasco. We are encouraging people to wear those, and we've seen them popping up in different arenas at NBA games here recently.
And I hope that people will continue to do that. Let's compare this to Beijing and Tiananmen Square in the late 1980s. I know that it's different because that was in the mainland of China, and Hong Kong back then was still under British rule. But this is basically the same message. I've gone to China. I adopted my daughter there. When I looked it up on Google, what happened in Tiananmen Square, the Chinese official story is that one gun went off accidentally and a bullet ricocheted and killed a guy. Well, you and I both know that they ran people over with tanks. It might be as many as 7,000 were killed in Tiananmen Square. So when Chinese people rise up and want freedom and liberty and human rights and basic civil rights, what China does is kill them. Already we've seen some protesters killed, allegedly by other protesters, but we know that the Chinese government has infiltrated the protesters and they're starting the trouble. So how does this thing end? Do we see another Tiananmen Square here? Does China roll tanks in and run people over? What happens?
Well, we certainly hope not, but it's very clear. You know, the People's Republic of China turned 70 this month, and that means that they've officially outlived the Soviet Union, which wow. fell apart in its 69th year. And in that 70-year history, the Communist Party of China has never allowed a protest movement to continue and to succeed in its demands. And we saw that most horrifically in Beijing, Tiananmen Square, in 1989, when the Communist Party sent the People's Liberation Army in to crush the people. Who were, you know, advocating some for democracy and some just for an end to corruption and
right.
abuses by the party. But we know that there were protests like that happening in dozens, if not hundreds of cities across China that year. And so it was much as a much larger protest that could have, had it succeeded, could have seen communism collapse in China in 89 the way it did in Europe. It's also this year, 30 years since the Berlin Wall came down in November of 89. But, you know, so clearly we know that the Chinese Communist Party is willing to massacre its own people to stay
right.
in power. They have amassed troops and paramilitary troops right across the Hong Kong PRC border. You know, it really is only international opinion and the economic consequences that would follow, in my opinion. That's the only reason Xi Jinping has not sent in, troops to crush this.
Yeah, but it's very much in that part of the world, Marion, about respect, and it's about standing, it's about power, it's about keeping that honor, if you will. There's no way he gives in and just lets Hong Kong go on about its own business, right? I mean, at the end of the day, in his mind, and in the fascist dictatorship that mainland China is, they're going to win, and they'll wait these people out if they have to. In what form and fashion do you see Hong Kong winning here?
Well, the people of Hong Kong have made it clear that this is existential for them. This is an existential fight.
Right.
You've seen "Give me liberty or give me death" written on walls at the protest sites. You've seen American flags being waved, singing of the U.S. national anthem in addition to a new anthem that they've adopted for Hong Kong.
Okay.
So we're seeing the emergence of a city identity in Hong Kong that sees itself as fighting for a separate future, one that, you know, contains freedom for Hong Kongers. But for Xi Jinping, this is also an existential issue because the existence of Hong Kong, like Taiwan, proves that Chinese people can be prosperous, happy, healthy, and free, and they don't need the Chinese Communist Party. And that cuts, you know, to the core of the party's claim to rule and to govern, is that they alone are responsible for China emerging as a backwater agrarian society into the superpower status that it is aspiring to today. But, you know, the Chinese people have done the best they could in spite of the party,
right.
not because of it. And the party killed is responsible for the deaths of at least 50 million.
50 million people. I mean, it's a staggering number. It's almost unfathomable, but that's exactly what the history is here. And I guess that's why I say historically, this is what China does. They're not going to let this stand. Hopefully, the some sort of international intervention, or at least international opinion, will dishonor them enough to where they'll say, well, we're not going to do that. We don't want to have that bad standing. Marion Smith, the executive director of the International Human Rights Group Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation. Again, it's victimsofcommunism.org, is it?
That's it.
Okay. I want to talk about sports very quickly. It's quite the juxtaposition to see our sports stars here kneeling during the national anthem, disrespecting the flag, the military, and so on, and at the same time kissing up to the Chinese, which is very odd to me. We've got people in Hong Kong singing our national anthem, showing they want freedom and liberty, while the biggest NBA star today on Earth, LeBron James, says something like, well, it's a misunderstanding, or he's misinformed by saying, free Hong Kong, or we support freedom and liberty in Hong Kong. Is it your opinion that the NBA should be involved with China at all? Because when they were there, they just kissed their ring, basically, and they did anything the Chinese wanted them to do. Now, keep in mind, when I went to China, I did as the Chinese said as well. I don't have American constitutional rights while there, but I made the decision to go and save a life. They're there playing a game, and they're afraid of losing billions of dollars. Should they have this arrangement?
Well, there's business, and then there's, business. And I don't think anybody responsible for selling Zyklon B capsules to the Nazis is proud of the buck they made.
Right.
And the same kind of thing is going on in China today. We have 1.5 to 3 million Uyghurs in re-education camps, where we know some of them have been killed, in Xinjiang province, where there's only 11 million people in that province. That shows the scale of it.
Right.
And then other atrocities that are ongoing, forced organ harvesting of political prisoners, forced abortion to adhere to their coercive family planning policy, the disappearance and torture and killing of dissident artists and journalists and attorneys throughout China. None of us should have any illusions about the true nature of the People's Republic of China. And so, there have been a lot of American businesses in the last 30 years who bought into this, as it turns out, lie, that doing business, trading with China was going to help them become more like us, and we were going to export our values to China. In the last few days, you see NBA players all on singing from the same hymnal, talking about how their relationship with China is, a bridge of cultural exchange. Well, it's very clear it's a one-way street, and instead of us exporting our values of justice and freedom of speech into China, they are using organizations like the NBA and other businesses to import, totalitarian methods of censorship into the United States and to be used against American citizens.
Yeah,
when
crazy.
Daryl Morey tweeted out his sentiment of support shared by millions of Americans to stand with Hong Kong, freedom for Hong Kong, the NBA's instinct was to come down on him like a ton of bricks.
Right.
And he deleted his tweet, was forced to issue an apology, and then Adam Silver got on a plane, flew to China to try to appease them. This is kowtowing to the Communist Party.
And then Adam Silver alleges, no, we do believe in freedom of speech. Maybe we acted too quickly.
Several days later.
Right. Yeah. And all of it was already done. And China's ring was kissed. And I've got to let you go because we're just about out of time. Let's do this again very soon. But one last comment. LeBron James doesn't understand what's really happening in China, because LeBron James is treated like an absolute king or a prince when he goes to China. Believe me, I'm an American who went to China to adopt a child. I was treated like gold because I brought a bunch of money with me. And that's really what it's all about. The people in China have no freedom, have no liberty, cannot speak out. And LeBron James either doesn't know that or doesn't care because he's making the almighty dollar. But I have to leave it there. Can we do this again very soon, Marion?
Absolutely. Thank you, Joe.
I appreciate him coming on. That's Marion Smith. And go check out the website. Important information. Information you're not going to hear from the legacy media. Information you're not going to hear from the NBA. Because either the NBA doesn't know or they're lying about what's going on with China. But there's a lot of money tied to that relationship. And that's why they're kowtowing, as he says. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. JoePags.com. Stay here. back. Great to have you. Kevin Sorbo coming up after the bottom of the hour. Let me grab a quick phone call. I've got about a minute for you, Eric. Make it happen. Come on.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my phone call.
You bet. Got about a minute. Come on.
Okay. I was just going to say I've been to a couple of the Trump rallies, and the excitement and the spirit of the rallies are awesome. I've seen Hispanics, blacks, women, everybody there, and I think the Democrats are losing their shirts here.
No, I agree with you. When you see these rallies, thank you, man. I appreciate the phone call. But when you see these rallies and you see 20,000 inside the arena, 25,000 outside, when you see these rallies and you see 25,000, 50,000 waiting outside, and the Democrats can barely get 700 in some of these places. In fact, Bernie Sanders is having some big get-together now, and the excitement in the crowd isn't about Bernie Sanders. It's about freaking AOC showing up to endorse him. How dumb is that? We're surrounded by a bunch of mindless lemmings or something, and the president's bringing out real Americans that just want to keep on prospering, keep on doing better. It's all very interesting to me. The Second Amendment and its importance, that's the topic surrounding the next movie by Kevin Sorbo. We talk to him when we come back. Keep it here.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, all the social media there. Sign up for the newsletter as well. Very simple to do. You're going to get an email 6 days a week telling you what's on the program, who the guests are going to be, whether there's a Pags parody or not, so make sure you make that happen. It is The Weekend with Joe Pags, 1-800-501-7080. It takes a lot of backbone and gumption and huevos, if you're in Hollywood and you decide to admit that you're a conservative. A few have done it, and they've stood tall, even though they've been blackballed here, they've been blacklisted there, they've been banned in some other places. Kevin Sorbo doesn't care what you think about his politics. Well, he cares what you think. Doesn't care what Hollywood thinks about his politics. And he's out there making great independent films that are highlighting the traditional Judeo-Christian conservative values of this country. He's got a new movie coming out. It's about the Second Amendment. I got a chance to talk to him this week. Kevin, I appreciate you. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? This is good to be back. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, I'm living the dream. Last time we spoke, it was the wildfires happening nearby, and your home was spared. Things have calmed down, right?
Well, we actually, we had a guy that, my neighborhood is amazing. The house next to me burned to the ground, across the street burned to the ground. And here the fires are going on again right now. You know that, right?
I did not know that.
Big fires going out there right now. Right now, they're about 40 miles east of me, but they're happening right now. But we're trying to sell our house for about 6 months prior to those fires. So somebody that lost their home about three blocks from me showed up and he said, I want to rent your home for the next 2 years.
Wow.
We rebuild. He gave us an offer we couldn't refuse. And then, so we're here now in Florida. We've been meaning to move out here for years. So we rented a home here for 1 year, but we don't know where we're going to be yet. We're in Tampa right now, but we're going to go up and down the coastline here until we find a place we want.
Beautiful there. I grew up in South Florida, so I know the area well. Cool. I'm glad that you guys did well with that. And it turns out, I mean, somebody needed a house. You had a house. I mean, everything kind of happens for a reason, right? These are sort of the projects that you're doing now, things that happen for reasons, I think.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my independent movies they deal with good messages. And, they deal with real characters that people can relate to. Look, I love Avenger movies, too.
Yeah.
But they're like a roller coaster ride with, $300 million budgets. We do these little independent movies in $2 to $3 million range, but they look great. Our latest movie, Let There Be Light, did very well, funded by Sean Hannity, but it was in 3 months, and now it's out there on Amazon. I highly recommend it, Let There Be Light, and it's a DVD at Walmart as well. And I've got 5 new movies coming out, and I've got one current one opening here on October 24th.
Yeah, it's called The Reliant, and this is an interesting one. It's very, very topical, as many of your movies and projects are. It's October 27th. Go to thereliantmovie.com. October 24th at 7 p.m. local time, just about everywhere. From what I understand, no matter what time zone you're in, it'll be 7 p.m. at your local theater. But find out where the theater is at thereliantmovie.com. And again, it's October 24th. So this is about the Second Amendment. What does the title mean?
Well, it's the whole movie deals with an economic collapse of America. So I think Venezuela, I think what's going on in Hong Kong now, I think what's going on with these Antifa guys, whatever the heck they are. They say they're against fascism when they're actually fascists themselves.
Exactly.
But It deals with the economic collapse of the American dollar and the fights and rioting that ensues. My character is he's a doctor. He's a Christian. He's a pro Second Amendment guy. His house gets targeted by a bunch of bad guys. I don't want to give away the whole story of why his house gets targeted during these riots. If people are shooting guns at you, if you yell "stop shooting," apparently that doesn't work.
I didn't realize that.
There are family that fights back, and it's certainly pro Second Amendment, but it's a faith based movie as well. But it's also a movie about how a family can get ripped apart and how it can come back together as well. So it's got a lot of redemption and hope in it as well.
It is TV and movie superstar Kevin Sorbo. Always appreciate the time. Jason and David Benham are in this, and I've had them on recently. These are unbelievable guys. Many people watching and listening don't know this, but after the interview, they asked if they could pray with me, which I found to be amazing. I was humbled by it. And these are the real deal. These are guys that had a contract, a deal with HGTV. It was dumped because they happen to be fundamental Christians, and they believe in traditional American values. That's really why it was canceled. How did you connect with them? And I love that they're in this.
Well, it was the director and the producer and writer of the series. I connected with them. I've met them a couple times at other events as well. They're great guys. I started laughing when you said that because they're Christians, they got fired from their show. Once again, showing how the left always screams for tolerance, but actually has no tolerance whatsoever. Yeah, and exactly. that to me is sad. I mean, I look at this most recent event with Ellen DeGeneres, how she went to a football game and sat up in Jerry Jones' box next to President Bush. And who got upset about that? The left. The right didn't attack anybody. It's just always the people from the left that just harbor so much hate and anger. It's amazing to me.
Well, Kevin, it's a great point, because very easily, had the right been like the left, we could have said, how dare Bush sit next to Ellen DeGeneres that hates everybody? Yeah. But no, we actually said, hey, look, a couple of people can smile, laugh, and enjoy a football game together. Why is that bad?
They are. We're not as crazy as they are.
No.
Everything they deal with is anger and hate. You know, I'm going to become a shrink on this fact. I find these people that no matter what I post or put out on Twitter or something, you just get attacked. And I think it's kind of funny. And it's sad at the same time, because these people obviously do not like who they are. They don't like their jobs if they have them. They don't like their relationships if they have one. And they think their anger is going to make them feel better about themselves. And all it does is really make that a bigger and deeper pit for them to have to crawl out of. And that's sad to me. I mean, you know, look in the mirror. That's where the problem starts. Stop blaming everybody else for your problems.
Well, she's still in trouble, by the way. That still hasn't gone away. The LGBTQ organizations, the Out magazine or whatever, they still want her to apologize and take back, because Bush killed all the Iraqis and Bush is no good and he's a bad. It's really kind of nuts, because you're right. They keep screaming about tolerance as they're telling us to shut up. It is Kevin Sorbo. The new movie is called The Reliant. Go to thereliantmovie.com and find out where it's playing in your town. It's going to be on, what, 750 theaters, something like that?
I mean, 740 theaters, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be at a bunch of places, going to be near you somewhere, either in your town or nearby. TheReliantMovie.com, October 24th. In this movie, it's about the Second Amendment, and it's about, you know, I have to bring up a guy who's from Texas, which I'm kind of embarrassed by. This guy, Robert Francis, calls himself Beto O'Rourke. He's not Mexican. He's pretending like he is. He's a fourth-generation Irish-American, which is fine. Just own who you are. He's trying to pretend he's somebody he's not. But he said, hell yeah, we're going to take your AR-15 and your AK-47. Like that was somehow a good thing, that will ignore the Second Amendment, ignore the Constitution, and ignore the rights given by our Creator to all of us as Americans. I mean, this movie happens to be happening right about the time this guy's saying that. Coincidence? Probably not.
No, it's not. I mean, it's just this date was picked a long time ago. He just made it a coincidence, which is interesting. You know, here's the thing. The Second Amendment was set up by our forefathers for a reason. It was to protect ourselves against a tyrannical government, a government that gets out of whack. They were so amazing to look down the road to see what could happen to this country. It was the same thing that happened in Britain. At the time, the British Empire was the strongest, most powerful empire in the world. And we had to fight them with basically pitchforks and shovels. And it's amazing that we even won that war. And the whole idea was not about hunting. It's about protecting yourself against a government, against a society that wants to take your guns away. All you have to do is look at Cambodia with Pol Pot, Hitler with Germany, Stalin with Russia, to see the tens and 20s and 30s and 40s and 50 million people that they killed once they got control of all the guns. It's really there. I get it. I understand their side. When you have these mass shootings, It is horrific and it's horrible. And the reality is we need to look at the sickness of these people that are doing this. And
agreed.
I look at the Parkland shooting, and I've been reading a book right now, and I'm blown away that the police went to this kid's house over 40 times.
He did nothing.
And the disruptions he had since kindergarten, all through those years until he went into school and killed those people, all these people knew that this kid was a dangerous kid. And yet the system kept them in there because the school board wanted to look good for whatever reasons, whatever program they had going on.
Right.
And it's sad to me. I mean, that could have been avoided so easily. And yet, once again, our government let us down.
There's a special engagement coming up on the 24th of October at about 7 p.m. your local time to go see the movie The Reliant. Go see thereliantmovie.com, thereliantmovie.com. Find out where it's playing where you are. I find that these special engagements sometimes, because of the massive uproar and outcome, they end up being on again. But there's a chance this won't be played again, so this might be your only opportunity. Go check it out right now, starring Kevin Sorbo. The Benham Brothers are in there as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, Fathom events like this are becoming more popular with lower budget movies, independent movies. And all these in these theaters. So they got it out there. It carries some cachet to get it in theaters at all. December 3rd, the DVD will come out. It is a PG-13. I do not recommend kids under 13 going to this movie. It's a violent movie. It's a different sort of movie that we want to put in a faith-based world. So, but it is a movie that carries a strong message. It shows the family getting ripped apart and coming back together. It's got redemption. It's got hope. It's got love. It's got a positive message in there as well. But, you know, people see something that's a pro Second Amendment, and I know that's a trigger thing for so many people. You know, give the movie a chance and take it from there and just see what your thoughts are afterwards instead of just already judging it before you even see it.
Yeah, TV movie superstar Kevin Sorbo, always a pleasure to have you on. Let's talk quickly before you have to run about Miracle in East Texas. That's the next one. I've got 17 stations in Texas, 130 around the country. People are going to definitely want to see this. I love biographical movies. You say this is based on a real story.
This is a true story set in 1930 about two con men played by myself and John Ratzenberger. And what they did was woo widows out of their money in fake oil wells. But ultimately in East Texas, they strike oil. It ends up being the largest oil fund in the history of the world.
Oh, wow.
And it's a romance, it's a comedy. At film festivals, it's winning best faith film, best family film, best comedy, best role. I mean, it's think Blind Side and think Green Book, which is won the Academy Awards in the most recent movie. It deals with racial tensions, but there, once again, there's hope, there's love, there's redemption, there's faith, and it's a wonderful movie. Tyler Mayne's in it as well. Tyler Mayne, people know him from the wrestling world. He's also Sabretooth in the X-Men movies. It's a great movie. But we'll talk about that one next spring when it comes out. But
I can't wait.
Please go see The Reliant.
Well, is John Ratzenberger, that's the guy from Cheers, right?
Yep. Yep. He did a great job in this.
Good.
He's hilarious in this movie.
I can't wait to see it. All right. TheReliantMovie.com. TheReliantMovie.com. It's October 24th, 7 p.m. local time is what I'm hearing from the publicist. But make sure you go to the website, find out where the theater is near you, and make plans to go and see this. I love that one thing you said, and I love everything you said in this interview, but the one thing that really jumps out at me, when you hear people like Andrew Cuomo in New York saying, you don't need more than two bullets to kill a deer, or you hear people saying, you don't need an AR-15 to go to target practice, they truly are trying, they don't really believe that's what the Second Amendment is about, do they, Kevin? Kevin, this is them trying to change the narrative. We know it's about stopping tyranny from ever befalling us again.
Yeah, but you know, it's been that argument's been out there for decades. So it's just like, you know, it's a brainwashing going on out there. They're changing. They're redefining what the Constitution means, for crying out loud. I mean, we're tearing down statues. Why don't you erase our past? We want Ivy League students that want to take anything down with God on the universities when the entire Ivy League was founded on Judeo-Christian values.
Right.
You know, every country has good and bad history. It's life. That's the way it is. And to sit there and erase our history to me is insane and mindless and doesn't make any sense. And it just deals with what's going on in this crazy, wacky PC world right now. We need to teach our history. Otherwise, history does repeat itself. That's all there is to it. And people need to start relaxing and stop getting so angry.
I couldn't agree more. It's TheReliantMovie.com. Go there October 24th, 7 p.m. Go there and check it out. It broke up a couple of times, Kevin, but it sounded really good to me. I think we got the last point that you were making. Thanks for always making time for my show, my audience, and for me. Thank you.
My pleasure. Look forward to coming back on again. Go to KevinSorbo.net for more information on other things.
We'll make that happen. We're back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here. Di, great to have you. It is The Weekend with Joe Pags. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Covered a ton today. I actually wish that we had another 3 hour. I'm just telling you, we've got that much that we could actually get done. But I appreciate you taking the time, as always. A story that many of you didn't hear about Hillary Clinton and what the State Department concluded on her emails. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, I want to grab Jim in New York. Jim, I appreciate your patience. What's going on?
Hi, Joe. Good show today. I just wanted to call. I agree with you about what you said earlier about Tulsi Gabbard. I definitely think she has a little bit more normalcy to her than the rest of the crowd on that stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, one other question. I've been trying to find this out for a while. Maybe you can find the answer or know about it. What happened to Anthony Scaramucci?
What do you mean, what happened to him?
Well, why is he's turned on Trump, and he's on CNN now. I just wanted to, I've been trying to find out, but what was, do you know anything about why that happened? He used to be on
our side. I interviewed him when he was still a Trump supporter, and here's a guy that you could not have found a stronger, more vehement Trump supporter on the planet at the time. I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but somebody got to him. And somebody said, you know, you could probably put your star back on the rise. Because remember, Scaramucci was a communications director for like 11 days.
Exactly,
and then
right,
he got fired from the
I
job because he was horrible at it. So he got fired off the job very quickly, but still was a guy who supported Trump and he was in the inner circle. Something happened that I think somebody got in his ear and said, you can probably have your star back on the rise if you turn on this guy now. And I actually private messaged him over on Twitter, where he used to follow me. He stopped following me. And I said, Anthony, what happened? Dude, I had you on the show. I can replay the interview. You were somebody who was completely in the camp for Donald Trump. Oh, it just turns out he wasn't who I thought he was, and he's a this, and he's a that. And now he's just saying all the Democrat talking points. I think it's maybe about a book. Maybe it's about being a contributor and making money on these networks. I don't know, but it has to be something very self-serving because the guy was in the bag for Trump before. I appreciate the call. It's a good question. Why does somebody go from a huge supporter of a politician or a fill-in-the-blank to somebody who seems to hate him? And then he and the president went back and forth on Twitter, which I think at the end of the day probably helped Anthony Scaramucci as well. I don't know why he did it, the mooch, but there's got to be something that he benefits by doing it. There's got to be some personal gain has to be attached to this. This is from the Daily Caller. It's an interesting story that the left media will not cover. State Department concludes Clinton email review says it found nearly 600 security violations. This is written by Chuck Ross, investigative reporter at the Daily Caller. State Department investigators probing Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server as Secretary of State discovered nearly 600 security incidents that violated agency policy, according to a report the Daily Caller News Foundation obtained. The investigation conducted by the State Department's Bureau of Diplomatic Security found 38 individuals were culpable for 91 security violations. Another 497 violations were found, but no individuals were found culpable in those incidents. The investigation concluded September 6th, and the report was issued September 13th. The investigation sought to determine if the exchange of emails on Clinton's server represented failure to properly safeguard classified information and whether any individuals at state were culpable for any of the failures. Clinton exchanged more than 60,000 emails on a private email account hosted on a server that she kept at her residence in New York. She emailed frequently with longtime aides Huma Abedin, Cheryl Mills, Jake Sullivan, and an outside advisor, Sidney Blumenthal. The FBI investigated whether Clinton mishandled classified information by using the server. Former FBI Director James Comey announced July 5th, 2016, that he would not be recommending charges against Clinton over the server, although he did say she was extremely careless in using an off-the-books email system. The FBI determined that thousands of the emails on Clinton's server contained some level of classified information. Some of those emails were found to have information classified as top secret, the highest level of classification available. State Department officials and investigators reviewed all of Clinton's emails, obtained hundreds of statements, and conducted dozens of in-person interviews with current and former State Department officials. According to the report, investigators determined personal email used to conduct official State Department business represented an increased risk of unauthorized disclosure. Clinton's use of a private server added an increased degree of risk of compromise as a private system lacks the network monitoring and intrusion detection capabilities of State Department networks, the report stated. She's dirty as they get, man. She's dirty as they get. And what's interesting is when you bring up Hillary Clinton's emails to Hillary Clinton, she says really odd things like, oh, the president's obsessed with me. Do your job. Oh, we've already covered this email thing. Aren't we over the email thing yet? Well, no. You violated statutes and laws, and you were crooked, corrupt, and dirty. Your email server at your private residence that made it available to any outside hacker who wanted to get a hold of it. And then Aberdeen, switching it from her email to her husband's computer. I mean, this stuff was out there for our enemies, our adversaries to get their hands on. And you think we should be done with it? Shut up. Come on, dude. But for some reason, she's reasserting herself. Keep that in mind as we continue this process to see who the Democrat nominee is going to be. Got to get out of here. It flew by. That's Anna. I'm Joe. We'll see you next week. Bye.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.